Welcome to our podcast, The Bikini and the Brain.
Hello, how are you guys doing today?
Hi. So our topic for today, or title I should say, is The Business of Fitness.
I think that is a really good title, especially with, actually what's really cool, I think, not to, you know, what do they call it? Honk our own horn. We have two different perspectives from two different mm-hmm. angles of it, and I think it's really cool because you get a lot of bikini competitors or a lot of competitors in general that really want to do this as a career, and they just don't know how. They don't know what the opportunities lie. Some of the trainers are just kind of spinning their wheels and not really sure what direction to go. So I think, you know, hopefully we can give you guys some insight to it, but. It's a really awesome thing if you can do your passion for your work, and you know, hopefully we can give you some tips on mm-hmm. how we did it. So I'll let Ashley start off, because I think Ashley's is definitely more or less common than mine and more interesting than, mm-hmm. than my route, because mine's a pretty common route. But Ashley, you've been able to really turn competing into a real career. I mean, you haven't yes. worked a regular job since 2012 at this point?
13. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's crazy to think about, like sustaining a living and a good living at that.
What the heck? How'd
like,
that happen?
she lives in Hollywood, and you guys probably know it's a pretty nice place to live. So, like for 5 years, just being a bikini competitor. So, mm-hmm. you know what? Obviously, people don't think that. A lot of people think, oh, I just you win a show and that's all the money you make. But that's mm-hmm. that's like the smallest
yes.
amount.
Yes, yeah. More money is to be made off the stage than your actual paycheck from the show. But it's that paycheck from the show that kind of like puts you out there and gets you noticed. And, you know, you kind of build from there. But that is absolutely correct. A lot of people wonder like, oh, is that just like the money you're making is like just your check that you get from winning or placing at a show? And that's not all of it. So like Adam mentioned, I haven't worked a real job, you know, a 9-to-5 or anything like that. In quite a while. I used to be a bartender, however, and, you know, once I won the Olympia, I called that quits, and it's not something that, you know, is that easy for everyone, because I think, you know, in my situation, I don't want to say I got lucky, but I was in a very unique situation, like winning the Olympia, and I know that not everyone's going to be able to win the Olympia, easier said than done, right? So I kind of lucked out big time, and I'm still shocked that, you know, I was able to do that and kind of build from there. But basically, on my side of things, I'm an athlete, and I enjoy being a brand ambassador for different companies that's in the realm of fitness. It's something I love to do. Opposite of what Adam is, and Adam's kind of like the entrepreneur, more the brains, and he's a businessman. So I'm more of like an ambassador, and I do have a few sponsorships within the industry. But, you know, that is a big chunk of my income is my endorsements from different companies. I also have my own fitness app, and, of course, winning competitions helps as well. And I also do seminars, and I do appearances, and I do have some modeling gigs every once in a while for, like, fitness-related equipment and stuff like that, but that's quite rare because I don't really categorize myself as, like, a fitness model or anything. But you know something? I think it was, like, a few years ago, people used to laugh at, like, oh, Instagram model. They're just an Instagram model. Get a real job, Instagram model. But let me tell you something. Instagram and social media in general is a great way to generate revenue. And for, I guess, two different reasons. On my side, I can kind of, you know, do brand deals and promote products even short term, not necessarily like a contract or like, you know, lasting 6 to a year, nothing like that. But or some of them do last that long, but some of them are just like, you know, one post per thing. And on my side of things, I am able to do that with my following. And I think, too, on Adam's side of the thing, Adam's side here, he's able to kind of promote his business using social media.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, so now that's the thing that I think people don't really realize, like, how much work goes into yeah. what you do. Like, even just this podcast, Ashley's so organized and she has bullet points and ideas ahead of time. And she's, it is like a real job, like how she does her posts. Like she does her YouTube on Monday and mm-hmm. She has her posts laid out for the week and has her podcast. This podcast launches on every Thursday and things like that. So there's quite a bit that goes into it scheduling wise. And, but you know how someone has to have that opportunity to like get those calls. And a lot of people have big followings that they're not monetizing yet. And a lot of people don't have the following that they need because they're not doing the right steps on social media. So what are a couple of tips you have like for to start getting followers? Because you can look up other you know, bikini Olympians, other top bikini athletes, and they don't have the following you do by usually by about four times less, you know, about 25%, 30% of what you have. So what has been your like key to success? What kind of tips can you give to people?
Well, I would say it's important to make sure you're delivering some quality content and kind of think, what would you like to know about? What would you personally like to see? And I think for me, I mean, everyone's different. I like to be somewhat entertaining because my thing is like make fitness fun, right? I think a lot of people are, especially in the fitness industry, are quite boring and kind of miserable to, I guess, follow because they're very like, oh yeah, here's a picture of my food. I ate this at noon. You know what I mean? And it's just kind of like no thought or anything goes into their posts. And I think it's important to realize what your audience is, what your audience wants, and what do you have to offer the world that can be beneficial? Because if you think about it, everyone that you're following probably has something special about them, and that's the reason why you're following them. Like, I'm sure a lot of people follow your page because they want to see workout tips and transformations, and they find it to be inspiring. Maybe they follow me because they're also getting inspired, and they're wanting to know, like, a little sneak peek into my life. Like, how is she prepping for a show? Or what's next for her? And where is she traveling to next? So I think that's really important, is just to kind of put yourself back and ask yourself, what would my followers like to see? And I mean, I'm not saying be a sellout and only do like posts that would make your followers happy, but I think it's a pretty equal balance here. And for me, I like to kind of use the term, I'm building my own brand, you know, making my name kind of a brand so that later in life I can do whatever I want with it. So right now I'm kind of like, building, and, you know, even things like podcasts and YouTube, I'm not necessarily making money off of that, but it's helping to contribute to my brand. I think it's important to realize as well that this, like, social media stuff, it doesn't happen overnight, and I contribute a lot of my following to winning the Olympia, like, 3 years in a row, and I think I was able to kind of keep that following going because I kind of got a little bit social media savvy, I guess. I moved to Hollywood, and, at the time, my apartment complex was like the social media capital of the world. Like, I have 1 million followers, and I was like a small fish in a big pond, believe it or not. There was people there that had like 10 million, 15 million followers. But nobody was fitness. They were like comedy and sketches and stuff like that. But I did learn a lot from them at the same time. You know what I mean? I kind of caught on to, you know, okay, it's important to post at this time, or at least try to post once a day, do, you know, videos are catching on. And it's so hard to tell with the algorithm, like, you know, is there a correct time to post or is a video better than a photo? But, you know, you kind of have to keep up with all this, like, new stuff that's coming out because it's always changing. I think that it's really important to you as well. Like, you know, be yourself. Don't try to be somebody you're not. Don't try to, I guess, fake it so much because people are going to catch on to that and they're going to see like, oh, this person is not genuine. And I think it's also very important to interact with people that you would like as your followers. So for me, I always try to show my NPC girls support, you know, those amateurs out there, because I'm like, that's my people. That's who I'm interested in talking to. And I want those kind of people to be following me because they would like my stuff. You know what I mean? And that's why I don't like go too far out of that realm because that, you know, it's my life. So that's what I like to engage with the most. And for me, that's my, I guess, little tip for you guys. And also, if you want to as well, it's cool to do, if you're at a certain level as well, you can do little collabs with people that are, you know, in your industry or have the same level of following as you.
And the and basically collab would be you guys doing a workout together and both posting it, and you guys both get kind of followers.
Yeah,
followers
and we collab all the time,
we
don't
do
we, Adam?
Yes, yes, it's really fun. That's a really fun collab. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically staying consistent is what it comes down to being one of the main things. And there's, you know, there's a lot of different ways of looking at that. There was someone who just did I guess it was like a study on social media that was talking about posts and how we look at it and how we engage with our audience. And this new one was basically posting only good posts. And this that was the thing. It's like, well, if you post something good, then you're going to get more engaged on that and you lose less followers. And then there's also the other train of thought, which was post consistently and you're always there in front of them, right? So it's like there's a lot of different ways of doing it and you got to figure out what works best for you and how you're growing.
And I think too that in your case, it's good to always post as well, because if you're kind of like giving something to offer or, you know, making people want to be interested in maybe a service or a product you have, then it, I think it's good to kind of break up the posts that are kind of like, I guess, spammy. Because we all kind of have to deal with that. I know I do, because I have a few companies I work with that I have to post for, and I don't want it to be all just sale, sale, sale. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got to give some helpful information as well.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the things, too, that Ashley was saying earlier about, one will be the spam thing I'll touch on, but the whole, like, muscle thing all the time in pictures. So you got to, like, kind of target your audience as well and figure out what it is you want. So if you're actually trying to get a big number on social media, like, and just get a big following, well, that's one thing. But let's say you're someone who's just trying to get a big number on social media, and you're one of the girls who's always doing G-string butt pictures. And yeah, you have a huge, you get a fast number by doing it that way, but then your brand is not monetizable because it's an 85% male audience.
Yes, exactly.
And so male audiences, they're not going to buy booty programs from you or whatever it is that you're selling, you know? So that becomes, you have to think about that too, because a lot of people are all about the numbers. And actually, Instagram's going to be changing its stuff pretty soon on the likes, on likes and stuff too.
Oh, I heard about this.
Yeah. So soon, it's already happening in other countries, but soon you're not going to see how many likes someone has, because a lot of people are like buying likes and stuff like that too. You'll see yours, but no one else will see. They'll just see, like, it'll just say Ashley and other people like this.
Is what I kind of like that. Do you like that idea?
You know, honestly, I think it's healthy for people.
Yeah, I think people get a little too obsessed with numbers. And I'm just throwing it out there too. If you do one of those buying like services, I suggest you don't do that for a few reasons. For one, it's a third party app that now has your login information, which can be dangerous because you don't really. I mean, I wouldn't trust, especially like a like company. If that makes sense. Like, who knows where they're at or where they're from or what, you know, what they're doing with your information. And, you know, that would be a horrible thing to kind of lose it all just because of that. And also, when you buy likes, that kind of messes up with your algorithm. So if you want a whole, like, for example, if you want a whole bunch of fitness people interacting with you, those likes are not fitness people. They are random robots or random people from different countries doing whatever. And that's not... Your page isn't going to catch on to a niche. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be like, oh, randomness. So you're not going to really get onto that explore. People aren't going to find you as easy. And it's just, you know what? Instagram is smart too. And they know better. So I feel like some people get away with it a little bit. But then at the end of the day, it just kind of, you take two steps forward, three steps back kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so to simplify that, what you're saying is, if only fitness people are liking your stuff because you're a fitness-based person, then you're going to get up basically higher in the searches and be more relevant
to
fitness.
So your homepage that has the, you know, you'll see if you go to your homepage, probably yours is mostly fitness, like girls, bikini girls or physique competitors or whatever it may be. And that's because you interact with those people interact with you. But if you have random robots, it's going to be like whatever, you know, it's going to be... Who knows? Instagram's like so confused. Like, we don't know what's going on. You're just going to stay stagnant kind of thing.
Die in the searches. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. There's no target market for you for them to promote.
And also just as another point as well, it can sometimes be obvious. And I don't think a lot, if you're going this route, not a lot of brands are going to like that or appreciate that because it kind of gives a dishonest perception, I guess, to view. So just be careful. You know, just be careful. It's better to do it the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. When if you guys are trying to make it in the social media, just do it through hard work that way. Because what happens is a lot of these companies now, a lot of the sponsorship companies will be like, oh, okay, cool. She's got 500,000 followers. You know, we can give her this much per month for whatever she's doing for us. But what I've actually caught on to in the fitness industry, and I know of three companies doing this now with their athletes, they're actually having them do a screen record while they go into their Instagram and actually look up their audience. And so they're actually seeing where all the audience is. And if they scroll mm-hmm. over and 80% of them are from Istanbul because they have bought all these followers. They're not real followers. They're all mm-hmm. whatever country you buy them from. It'll show up like crazy, but it should be pretty evenly spread. Maybe like whatever, 40% United States mm-hmm. and all these different things. But if you bought them, it'll be like 85% like Istanbul or something
that makes
like that.
Sense.
And so we'll be like, no, your followers aren't even real. Like mm-hmm. we're not going to give you what we thought say we're going to give you. And then you might lose an opportunity that you would have gotten eventually, and because they're going to think, oh, well, she's just faking on Instagram or whatever. So something just to think about too with your future is going to be that stuff. And you can do that through checking on your Instagram, going in and checking all of your stats. So, all right. So that is one of the big things with Instagram. So right now you're saying stay consistent, mm-hmm. Be a little different, stop doing too much of the repetitive stuff that gets a little boring,
yes.
Which honestly for me too, like I love bodybuilders and I got into this when I was bodybuilding, but I don't even follow. I unfollowed so many bodybuilders now. Mm-hmm. Like it's just so boring. I'm so sick of like seeing them flex in the gym or seeing their chicken and asparagus, you know? I'm just like, I just can't even watch it anymore. So the other thing too that I really got really tired of is like there's a couple companies that really have, and I'll say that they do a really good job, supplement companies that stay in like your eye. Like they're just always in your Instagram and they have their athletes like do a couple posts like mm-hmm. a week or something. And I just, when I scroll through and I see these companies, because I know what their athletes are going to do, I just stop following them because it's like, it's so frustrating to see them do this. Like, I mean, it's literally like, I want to say like four pictures a week, like in a shirt with the shaker cup, mm-hmm. with the product, like just putting it in your face like this, that is an advertisement. Even if it's you and I know you, that's still an advertisement. So just do it creatively mm-hmm. in a way where it's not like spammy and you're repeating. Even if you're super proud of being part of that company, if they're paying you to do it one time a week, don't wear the same shirt or wear their shirt seven times a week because it becomes frustrating as like a viewer to see that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So just a couple little tips, you know, your brand has value to it. So don't ever give it away. And what I always tell like these sponsorship companies or the supplement companies is every post has a cost to it in terms of what your loss rate is. So if mm-hmm. you're doing a straight up advertisement, you're going to probably have a loss rate mm-hmm. of followers
yes.
because of that. So when these companies, they're like giving you nothing and they're like, oh, we'll give you a discount for if you, we'll give you a $50 gift card and a discount, but everyone wants to be sponsored. And they're like, oh, I want to be sponsored. I'll say I'm a sponsored athlete. Well, the problem is that you're doing two times a week because you're really excited for them. And then now you're becoming an ad and now it's actually mm-hmm. costing you followers, which in later on you could have monetized through something like Ashley's app or something like that. So mm-hmm. so just be very careful of what you're doing with it and have something that's more for the target audience that you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're doing the booty picture thing and you're gaining a male audience, well, maybe the only way to monetize something like that would be by selling posters to them because you wouldn't be able to do booty programs. So if that's what mm-hmm. you want to do, great, do your thing. But if you want to be, you know, a top trainer for females, well, that's probably not going to work because mm-hmm. That's not even your audience. So,
mm-hmm.
So that's a couple of things. Now, what other things besides social media? Now, you said you have your app.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. you do a lot of work with that. You mm-hmm. know, I think a few times a year you're doing like full day shoots and all that,
mm-hmm.
and you're staying on top of it. So we want to go into that a little bit and how that opportunity came about.
Sure. So I've been with actually a few different app companies throughout my journey. The one I'm with now is it's a company that actually helps create apps for several different athletes. But it is my own app, and they just help me with the promotion, setting it up. I add my workouts in, I update it, and they kind of take care of the rest because I'm one of those people that I'm like, I will pay for the convenience of things, and I'm not that technologically smart to where I could do it myself. So that's the route I went, and they're very helpful in helping me deliver my app content. And yeah, I've been pretty happy with it. It's what is it called? Residual kind of
yeah.
income. It's like, you know, I did it. I'll update every once in a while, but I put it out there, it's done, and I don't have to kind of worry about it every single day, which is nice so that I can kind of concentrate on my training and all that.
Yeah, so in the end, I think it's important for people to understand, like, yes, you can do this and you can make a living at it, but you do mm-hmm. have to work just as hard, especially to
yeah.
get to that point where you're growing your audience and able to monetize it. And I think a lot of it is just those tips that you gave are really good, just
yeah.
on like how to post and when, you know, those types
yeah.
of things.
And it's going to be different for everyone. And also, I wanted to put this out there too, when you get to the, I guess, the level to where you're able to, you know, work with different companies for posts, don't lowball yourself. And I know, especially, did you notice like the fitness industry is notorious for being cheap?
Oh, so cheap. Yeah.
Yes.
So cheap. Yeah.
Like, it seems like in every other, I guess, sport, it would be considered like a joke in some
yeah.
cases. Because I know some companies even reach out to me like, hey, I'll give you this free product for a post, which would be okay if I was, you know, just starting out. But, you know, I'm going to say this. In just a rule of thumb, it's usually you get $100 per post for every 100,000 you have. So if you have 100,000 followers, it'd be $100 a post. And, you know, 200,000 followers, $200 a post. That's rule of thumb. And I work with a social media agency as well, and they don't go below that. And that's just something to keep in mind, guys. So the more, you know, you can build your Instagram, the more money you would get. And that's just speaking on Instagram. YouTube could be different. Facebook could be different. I'm not exactly familiar with the payment on that. But I know coming from a personal standpoint, like that's usually about average.
Yeah. And that sounds about right. And mm-hmm. you get a lot. Just make sure to review the offer if you know someone in the industry that can maybe help you with it. You know, because a lot of times, especially when you're new and you're starting, you just jump on it. You're like, oh, my gosh, they want to sponsor me. And I've actually seen a few times where I'm like, no, they're not sponsoring. You're buying stuff
yeah.
from them. And it's like, they're like, we'll give you a coupon code.
Where, oh, I hate that.
Yeah. They're like, we'll give you a coupon code. And if you sell product, you get 20% of the sales that you get from your coupon code. But then they don't send you any product to initially get it. Like,
goodness.
So you're buying the product at your own 20% off or whatever discount they give you. And then you're selling it for them. So it's like they're making money twice. And I'm like, that's,
oh my gosh,
that's not that's how you treat people.
Scamming
you know?
People. Oh my goodness.
These are big companies too.
Wow,
like,
yeah.
But they'll pick up a lot of small people. So how it used to work was, you know, there was, you know, when I was growing up, it was just like magazines. There wasn't any social media. So with the magazines, it was like everyone was trying to get a pro card so they can get seen. And once they got seen, they would get in a magazine and hopefully get with a supplement company. And the supplement company only had like 10 guys or 8 guys that were like all badasses. You know, you'd have like the Mr. Olympias, the Miss Olympias, the guys who were doing really good. And there was no like cult following because there was no way to track that. It was just like, oh, this guy's kind of popular. When he goes to shows, like people like to like him. Like
yeah.
that's how it was. So back then, these guys were getting paid really good. You need to get big contracts for being with like Muscle Tech and all these different companies. You get real good contracts. But now what they realized was I'd rather have pay everyone pennies and have 100,000 pennies going out than have one guy and paying him a ton of money.
Mm.
You know, so they do that. And they do both, you know, but just make sure that you're getting the right amount of pennies and for your value, and you're not losing, it's not costing you your followers too. So that's something that I definitely don't like about the fitness industry, is that they do tend to take advantage of the masses and the people that are getting excited just about being sponsored, you know.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of younger people, they're just like, are getting into it, like, oh, they want to sponsor me, you know. It's like,
right,
well, they sent you that message and you know, 10,000 other people.
Yeah. copy paste
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah,
copy. All you need to do is type the right hashtag and you'll get that copy paste message. So
yes.
It's like, yeah, that's literally how they find them.
Yes.
So, okay. So let's go into a little bit about what I do in fitness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a lot, I guess I have a lot going on in my, like,
too much.
Yeah.
He's always working.
Yeah. So it's
always,
it's taken, I always say the story. It took me 13 years to become an overnight success. And it was a lot of grinding to get there. You know, now, like, so when I started training, I just wanted to make enough to like stay in the gym, because I loved training so much in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
But the most you could make back then was like, you know, I was, even when I was like younger and I finally got the hang of training, it took me a while to like start getting the hang of training. Not a ton of time, but it took me like 3 months of not making any money mm-hmm. as a trainer to like really learn how to like manage it. And then as soon as I started getting clients, then I was like, okay, I got this. And then I learned it really, really quick. And then after I just started rolling after that, I was actually at the highest rate that you could get back then at 18 years old. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was making pretty good money, but I was training like crazy. I was training, I remember 67 sessions a week when wow. I was 18, and they're 1 hour sessions.
Work.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It was crazy. I was number three in the company, and it was a pretty big company. And I think it's okay. I just say 24 Hour Fitness. I was number three in, personal training then. And then they gave me like a big club, and then it was a whole thing. But, I learned a lot from them. So I'll always say like positive things about 24 Hour Fitness because I wouldn't be here without them. And I think that that's important to start with.
Yes. You got to remember where you came from.
Yeah. You gotta start with something, you know, with like a, you know, whether it's a, you gotta learn from someone, you gotta have like a mentor. I was really lucky, you know, I've had like really good mentors. And honestly, I would say that Ashley's one of my mentors too.
No.
Like we're just in different ways. Wow. You've taught me a lot about like staying consistent with social media
yeah.
And you tell me things and you get on me about those things too. Like you got to do this or whatever. Like, or like when it was like, look, for example, like the videos, like the thumbnail on the video, things
yes.
like that. Like, so like all these little things, like you helped me with that stuff. But I had a really good.
Oh wait, airdropping.
Airdropping. So, yeah. All these little things. It's so funny. When I get to teach her something about social media, I'm so happy. I'm like, oh, you don't know this?
Yeah. So, yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, you're definitely beating me in this podcast game because
yeah.
you got this all set up and I'm like, I don't know how you do it.
So I had a really good mentor too. His name was Brian. And he really helped me with like learning the training like business. He wasn't as funny as he probably wasn't like the best trainer, but he was really good at like the business side of it. And I was a really good trainer. So I just needed to learn from him how to actually run this so I could do this for a living, uh-huh. you know, and it was really cool going through that. But yeah, my first year as a trainer, you know, I was 18. I came from like, my story is really weird. My dad was really well off, but he never gave us any money. So I lived very poorly. My mom, she slept on a couch. She didn't have a room for 5 years of my life. And so it was like, I was just trying to escape like the neighborhood and actually just make a living doing something I loved. And it was just,
me too.
Yeah, you're similar, right? We got to tell that one day, that whole story. But yeah, it's, I was just trying to like make something of myself. And mm-hmm. The only thing I had was fitness. And that's the only thing I wanted to do was fitness because I didn't want to run my dad's grocery store. So I was like, okay, well, the only way to make money is to train more. So I was training almost 70 sessions a week. And, you know, I was getting a pretty good rate from that. But then as time went on, you know, the internet, actually, it's funny. It's like the internet, like, just started back then, basically. It was like 2000 when I started training. So it was like 98 when I was in stores. And I think it was like becoming popular like 96 or something. So there was no online training at that point. People were still doing their programs and writing in. So when you did contest prep, people literally would come in with a book and like write down, because we didn't have, you know, we had cell phones. They didn't have any like apps on it or anything yet. It was just like flip phones where you like press the number four times to get
oh
a letter
gosh.
For text. It was brutal. And so you'd come in with like a book and you would write down all your meals you ate and you'd write down everything. And that's how we made adjustments. It was terrible. And so it was actually, what's funny is like now I get people that want to do contest prep and they'll be like, oh, it's expensive or whatever. And I'll be like, you're crazy. I'm like, you know how much more it used to cost? Contest prep used to cost double what it costs now. Double, because you didn't have the ability to email someone a menu plan and they had to physically come in.
Oh wow.
And that cost a session. So they would do okay. one session a week with the, and if you're a good contest prep trainer, you would get the higher rate. You wouldn't be charging $50 a session. You'd be getting, you know, $70 a session. Even back then you'd be getting that. And so, you know, I was at the max rate in 24, which was 68. And so I'd get $68 for your session to go over your weekly measurements, your weekly adjustments to your menu, your weekly adjustments to your workout plan. And then your diet, of course, would change. And then you'd also do one session a week, personal training. So it was $140 a week to train with the trainer. So mm-hmm. a contest was $560 a month, you know, and now it's lower, even though I'm better at it now, you know, it's almost half that if you're training. It's cool that technology has changed this, but also because technology has changed this, I've been able to like create my own system, my own website that's kind of molded.
You're smart. Oh my God, you're so smart.
Well, actually, I have.
Remember, I just said I'm not one of those smart people that can do it myself. Well, you are. Congrats.
It took a long time. I'm in my third system now. At first, I had an app, and then it was a website, then it was an app, and now it's a website again. That's like It has everything I need, and it's all designed, and it makes it really easy and fast for me to like send out programs and still be really, really accurate and track data, and has all these data collection things in it. So, mm-hmm. So yeah, it's become a lot more efficient. So that's one thing. And, you know, you got to be, there's always the ways that you can make more is always you do things with the same quality at a faster rate, or you can charge, or you could charge more for your product. That's kind of like the two ways mm-hmm. of making it. Or if you're selling a product, you can buy it for less or sell it for more. That's the only way. So, so with that, we started becoming kind of known. I've been doing this 19 years now. And so we kind of became kind of known. And so there was a few things that I was like, you know what, why is like, and if you're a trainer, you should think about this too. I was sending people to a supplement company by my area in Colorado, and they were doing really good because we had quite a few people buying their supplements, and I was sending them to, you know, bodybuilding.com and all these other places. And, you know, they're making a pretty good money, about average of 30% margins on supplements. And I was like, why don't I just sell them, and I'll sell them even for less margins, and the customer will get a better price mm-hmm. and I'll make a little bit more, and that can help this and put that back into like the website and the business and whatnot. So then that started. And so now we sell supplements. And so, it does decently. It's nothing crazy, but it's a little bit more. And then, we were doing a lot of waist trainers and trying different waist trainers and mm-hmm. whatnot. And this is, I'm just a trainer, you know? So, one day I said, okay, you know, I'm going to make my own waist trainer, make it better than everyone else's. And I'm going to try to just make it a little bit better, you know, and a little different. Mm-hmm. And so now, you know, we'll sell, you know, I don't know, 2,000 waist trainers a year, something like that. It's
that's what's up.
It's pretty crazy. It's more than that, because it's over 200 a month. So it's, we're probably about, closer to 3,000 a year, like
awesome.
That. What's funny is we were at the meeting, that Meet the Athlete meeting, and there was a guy next to me, and he was from a different country. I didn't know who he was. And he was like, yeah, man, I've been wearing your waist trainer for this prep. He was an Olympian. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's so cool. You know, it's just cool to see that actually happens.
Right.
So the main thing is what, and it doesn't matter whether if you're a fitness guy trying to get into fitness, or if you're just working a different job. The goal, I think, is always the same no matter what. And I can give you an example of this too. And the goal is always to be just try to be the best, the absolute best at what you do, and you're going to make a significant income. Because whoever's mm-hmm. the best at whatever it is in the world, like there's a soda can in front of me, so I'm going to use that as an example. The guy who's making the most of these soda cans is making the most money. And he's making the most not because he makes a better soda can than anyone, but because he's done something better to get more customers than everyone else has. He's tried harder. He's put himself out there more. Maybe it was more with social media, whatever. And maybe the scenario is he does make a better soda can. Who knows? So, it goes down to anything. As long as you put a lot of effort out, you're going to do really well.
Mm-hmm.
As a trainer now, you know, I make more than I've ever really even desired to at this point. Like, I'd be happy with far less, because I'm just not that kind of guy. Like, mm-hmm. I don't really desire to, like, make. Like, I've never been one of those guys that's just I just want.
Like, I'm going to fall out, buy this Lamborghini, and throw money out the window
yeah.
while I'm blasting the radio to my favorite rap song.
Like, making it rain. That's just not, this is not me. It's just now it's about just trying to be the best, and that's just indirectly responded with, you know, better income than I wanted.
And let me just say something. Okay. I'm just going to throw this out there. You are such a good guy, because I know that you take care of your employees so much.
Yeah.
So much. Because you're one of those people that's like, you know what? I made enough, and now I want my employees to be taken care of and to be happy. And I find that very admirable, because you're not about the money. You're about, like, making sure people are taken care of. So that is awesome. You don't see that too much. A lot of people are money hungry.
Yeah, I've always hated those companies where, like, there's a CEO making like $500 million, yeah. and then like the managers at the whatever are making like, you know, $28,000. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why don't you just, like, how much do you actually need? You know what
yeah.
I mean? It's just a little crazy. But the one thing too is, like, if you get to the point where you actually have staff, my opinion is, and this is kind of, it's going to sound a little rough. One, you got to be really good to people, and they'll be good to you. Your loyalty is kind of bought through your actions from them. So if you want to have constant turnover, always hiring someone new, have a lower quality product, and you just don't pay them that much. And then you treat them poorly, you know. But if you want to have someone forever and make this a career where they think about it, you know, you make them You give them a good amount of, you give them a lot, and it, you know, more than you should pay them, you do. And that's kind of always been like my thing. I have friends that are like, how do you keep everyone for so long? Like, I've had people, they just never leave. And I'm like, well, I pay them more than I should.
I want to work for you one day. I want to be the mascot. Can I please apply to be the Team Elite Physique mascot?
Yeah,
I will hold a sign on the side of the road, and I'll learn how to toss it, and I'll wear a costume. Yeah.
You know what? I feel like we're always gonna do something together. You know, I feel like we're always gonna do something together.
Well, that, you know, I don't mind doing that.
Yeah, I was one of these days. One of my dreams is to build like a instead of like the contest prep center, I want to build like a vacation type of gym where there's like huts on a beach and like a crazy beach gym.
Mm-hmm.
That's what one of the things I want to do, like as a retirement gym. But
that is awesome.
I want you to be in one of those huts.
Yes,
those,
I would love to
like
be in a
permanent hut. Like a permanent hut.
I would
hut
love a
you.
Hut.
We'll have side to side huts. That'd be so fun.
Oh, that's what's up. Yeah.
So, whatever it is you're doing, I guess I'm going a little off tangent here. But if whatever it is you're doing, if you do it like with, you know, the honorable way, and you actually try, and you actually give your customers like what they want, and you're putting the time in to give out a great product, you're gonna do well. And I had an example of that. And there's this girl who worked at Office Max, and we do some of our shipping through them. So when we have like big packages, we'll just drop it off at Office Max and they'll be there. There was this girl one time, and there was like a lot of problems going on in the Office Max. And she was like on this little button where she was like walkie-talking everyone through their earphones. And she was handling me, and she was handling like three other scenarios that no one else could handle. And I was like, man, I was like, you do a lot here. She goes, yeah, you don't know. She was like, I do a lot, but no one else can do it. So I gotta do it. And I'm like, are you doing other jobs that you shouldn't be doing? And she's like, yeah, I do a lot of other jobs I shouldn't be doing, but I'm just kind of the one that knows how to do everything here. And I was like, well, do you get paid extra for doing those things? And she's like, no, I just do them. And she's just like moving. And I was like, you know what? It's really rare to see someone who gives more than they should, because most people will do just enough not to get fired. To keep their job and make the living that they are. But there's very few that actually will go above and beyond their job requirements because they want the success of everyone around them. And so I got her number, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to write your number down, because I have a lot of friends that have, like, I've been training forever. I was like, I have a lot of friends that have companies, and I'm going to tell them that you're a good hire and that you need to be somewhere else, because she said she wasn't making very much there at all. And so I gave her a number to my friend who runs a company. He's an old client of mine, an old personal training client.
Mm-hmm.
And she got a job for $60,000 a year. And
awesome.
Yeah, and she was, I think she said she was making like 17
You changed somebody's
16.
Life.
Yeah, but the thing is, she her efforts created that opportunity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my efforts created my opportunity to get, if you want to call it lucky, and just like your extreme work ethic
mm-hmm.
caused your opportunity to become Miss Bikini Olympia, to get lucky, right? Everyone's
mm-hmm.
like, oh, well, she was lucky. I'm like, no, you create your own luck through your efforts. And one of the things that I'll say about Ashley is like, she actually works harder than really like everyone. And I was saying that, and this might put us back in, I don't know if in we're in sequential order when I reference one of our podcasts, but I was talking to Phoebe, and I was like, you know what, I feel like Ashley would be the only Ashley that I would ever run into. And what I kind of meant by that was, I get a lot of like pros, and I'll get a lot of amateurs, and they're always like talking like, hey, I'm going to do this. And like, they talk a big game, but it's really rare where someone actually executes that,
mm-hmm.
where it's like not effort, where it's like, you don't brag about it. You know what I mean? Like, you're just like, no, I have to work. Like, I have
mm-hmm.
to do my work, like in terms of the gym, and I have to do my exercise, and I have to do this. And Phoebe's kind of like that too. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's not like a bragging thing. Like, hey, I'm so motivated right now. It's just like, hey, I just do work. And I think that's the same thing with me every day when I go in the office. I'm just like, oh, I got to work. My schedule's crazy today. I got to work 15 hours. Well, I got to work 15 hours. It
yeah.
is what it is. Like, I don't even think twice about it. Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you do that with anything you do, you're going to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
So
good words of advice.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, going off on a tangent there, my motivational speech on working hard. So one of the things is, I guess, what I'll sum it up with trainers, because a lot of trainers out there. One is going to be, you know, make sure your clients are fun, they're having fun, they're engaged. I think one of the problems with personal trainers, one-on-one trainers, is that when your clients become friends, their sessions start to kind of suck.
My sessions have not sucked.
Yeah,
with you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you'll see these like trainers at smaller
mm-hmm.
or at like bigger companies that are just like a whole bunch of trainers, and then their clients will walk in and they'll be like, oh, hi, Rose. How are you doing? How's the kids? How's this? Whatever. Like, they know everything about them, which you should know if you're a trainer and everything about your client. But at a certain point, there's a line that gets crossed where you just become their friend and you're not even pushing them hard through workouts anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually the client realizes this and I'm like, what am I paying for? I could do this on my own, what he's training me for.
Right.
So they should always get more than they expect and leave with a workout where they wouldn't be able to do that on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Like it has to be more than they can do on their own or you're not worth it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things. So retention's big on that. And then also the other things is just like we call vertical integration, which is essentially anything that you're already supplying your clients and just taking control of it. You know,
mm-hmm.
if you're, you know, it could be so many different things, you know, it could be the supplements, it could be, the supplements, a waist trainer, you know, apparel, like things like that. You could take control of all that and your clients would rather give you the money and then you charge less than the big companies do anyway. And so
mm-hmm.
everyone's happy. And then it makes it easier for you to charge less for your other products because you're making more from the other one. So that's how I've been able to grow mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now we have like eight different things. I focus on, you know, bikini. I focus on bikini, men's physique, and transformations. And then I have different coaches focus on different divisions.
Mm-hmm.
So
I
do all the bikini transformations and men's physique and stuff.
Very cool.
So yeah, so it's that's another way of doing it. Now, anything that you have, Ashley, that maybe...
I kind of wanted to tie us together in this aspect. You know, I'm an athlete. Most of my income is from different brands and endorsements I work with right now and Stage and the fitness app, like I mentioned. Yours is, you know, your core sets, waist trainers, and the training in general. And I think that... although you're not specifically like social media oriented, you've got a diehard following. And I think that with all the stuff you do, things like YouTube and even podcasts probably helped you put your name out there. And I don't know about you, but I seem to get like the most response or, people coming up to me being like, I watch your videos, YouTube. Although it's not as big as my Instagram account. It's like, do you feel that too? Like people are more,
I feel like people feel like they know you.
Yes. That's the great thing about YouTube is like, it's not like a 30-second clip of you working out. It's like, you're talking, you get to show them how you live, how you talk and what you're about more so than Instagram. So I think that if you're looking for actual, like specifically making money off of social media, Instagram is the way to go. But, for building your own brand or building your company would be like very helpful to have like a YouTube channel. Yeah,
absolutely. And giving out tips and advice that other people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of the things I really like doing. And I just like doing it because like a lot of people can't hire me as a trainer, you know, and I want to be able to give those people who have been following me for 2 years, 3 years.
It does feel good to get like responses like, you know what, you helped me. I watched your video. I'm inspired. I did your workout. I loved it. Or I've lost 5 pounds because I was starting to eat healthy because you motivated me. I love getting that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you do too.
It's
and,
very rewarding, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like you get what you give, you know? I give a lot of like free information and you give the most free information. And I think that it's like a very, like, it's a kind thing to do on your part because I know a lot of people kind of charge for that information and you're very generous with your knowledge. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think it's important. Well, I've always thought, you know, the fitness community was really, really good to me. One day these days we'll do like a real podcast of like the whole story of how this all came about. Because it's pretty crazy. Like the younger Adam was a little bit crazy. He was a little bit, I would say, taking some risks, you know? And so, this fitness thing, it changed that for me. You know, a lot of the friends I was hanging out with back then, you know, even a couple of them aren't even around anymore, you know? So, fitness got me out of that. Fitness got me out of the only like, because I grew up in a pretty impoverished area. So there wasn't very many opportunities that you saw. It was always the bad things that you saw. And I was kind of like, okay, that's what you got to do if you want to actually make something. So fitness though changed all that. It got me out of going to parties. It got me out of doing all these bad things. Like, and I was just in the gym all the time. So I think that it's important to give back to fitness because it's given me back so much. And so that's why the prep center too is the way it is. Another thing that I do is I own a gym. It's called the Contest Prep Center. And I saved up all my money. I sold everything to get that. It took everything from me to get that. But I bought it and I own it in cash. I don't have any bills on that, any mortgage. And the reason for that was I didn't want to have to deal with having to make so much to cover that. I just wanted to live like stress-free. And because of that, I don't charge any of the trainers rent there, like any of the elite trainers rent there. Other trainers, they pay like a little bit. It's pretty nominal. But that's one of the ways that now they're able to make a good living and do and make their lives better too. So I think that's really cool to be able to like give that back to them too. So they're making great livings, they're having great opportunities, but they're also like super, super loyal too to me and to the brand. And a lot of that's because they know that they can't get that anywhere else, but a lot of that's because they're so proud to even be part of something like that too. So it's really cool. And I think that anyone out there who's, once you get in that position where you can give something back to your fitness community, you absolutely should.
Yes.
I've made a whole, like, I give back, I probably more than most, just because I could be charging every one of those trainers rent. I could be charging memberships at the gym. I could be doing all these things, but I don't. I just let everyone work out there for free. I let other teams come there and pose for free. You're all welcome to come out and pose one day if you want for free.
Denver, Colorado.
In Denver. And all that free stuff that I've done and all that knowledge that I've given out to people who just, I know maybe a little bit more than, who want to learn that little piece. Now I'm getting, you know, in the end, I've gotten more customers because of it. I've gotten more opportunities because of it. I've gotten more my name out there. So, so always give back. It's really helpful in terms of like your business growth too. And it makes the community better, and it's just, I just love doing it, so.
Heck yeah, that's what's up.
So I guess.
Yeah, I think we covered a lot of it. I think this is such a great thing that we're talking about, because I think a lot of people are afraid to ask you and I.
Yeah.
I mean, some people will be bold enough sometimes and, like, message me and ask, like, do you make money off fitness, or how do I get sponsored? So I hope this covered it. I just want you guys to know that it is possible. At first, bikini, it was like a hobby, right? I mean, more than a hobby, it was my passion. But, in the beginning, I was broke. I was, sharing a hotel room with four other girls at a national show. And it took me a while to figure out how to, make money off of this. And obviously my success helped me do that as well, but it is possible, and there's several different ways you can do it. So hopefully you picked up some good tips.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate you kind of sharing all that stuff too. So, and with that, guys, we will leave you. There is actually one thing that is going to happen too, that's going to kind of correlate with this, and I'll tell you, but I am going to be, there's going to be a new, so for your trainers out there, there's going to be a new CEC class. So trainers have to renew their certification every couple years. And I will be doing it's actually going to be a contest prep CPC renewal.
Oh, cool. I didn't even know about this.
Yeah, it's coming out. It's coming out very soon. They want me traveling around doing it. I don't think I'll be traveling around doing it. I think I'm going to do them all in Denver because I travel enough as it is.
Yeah.
But when those classes do come out, I'll let you guys know. It's probably within like a year to 6 months within the works. And then it'll actually help you renew your certification, but I will give out a bunch of tips on just the story of how we got there too. So just look out for that if you're a trainer. Mm-hmm. And if you're not and you're trying to be a trainer, just remember there are enough hours in the day for you to even just start part-time somewhere and just like really start doing it. If you really want it, you got to put the work in.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we will leave you. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
And we will talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.